Besadik Parsha Shmini Tafshin Ayin Hey. Okay, so like I said a moment ago, it's a very humbling topic that Rav Tzadok is going to introduce us to today. Very often in life we feel that even though HaKadosh Baruch Hu controls everything and Hashem does a lot for us, but we also do a lot for Him. We do a lot for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we work hard for Him. Certainly when we are working, sometimes we're not working so hard for Him, but when we are working hard for Him, we feel sometimes that HaKadosh Baruch Hu owes us things, and Hashem is indebted to us. And Rav Tzadok teaches us through a very tragic parsha, this week's parsha, the death of the sons of Aaron, and more than that, the whole relationship between Aaron and his sons, and the avoda that they were trying to do, their man-made avoda. We learn a very, very deep yesod on how a Jew has to approach his own avodas Hashem, how to approach the suffering of Jews. It's not by chance that we're learning this topic on the day where Yom HaShoah is observed by many. Right? Obviously, the halachic day of Yom HaShoah is, of course, Tisha B'Av. And in 1977, when Rav Menachem Begin was quite a rep. That was a good slip. When Menachem Begin came to America, and he was speaking to Rav Soloveitchik, and they both wanted, they were both pushing that it should be that Yom HaShoah should be observed on Tisha B'Av. Menachem Begin wanted that. He felt that the hemshich of Jewish suffering begins with Tisha B'Av and continues with the Holocaust, and that is the day. In the very real sense, that is the halachic day for Jewish mourning, but for a variety of reasons, secular reasons mostly. There was a pushback, and Yom HaShoah is observed today. But it would be callous of us to ignore the fact that, you know, survivors, I was told that there are 189,000 survivors left, which sounds like a lot, but it's a number that's dwindling quickly. And if today is a day that Jews around the world are reflecting on arguably the greatest tragedy of our history, so even if it's not the, again, from a strictly halachic sense, the day to mourn, it would be silly for us to, and very foolish and irresponsible for us to not acknowledge that. But it's not by chance, again, that we encounter a very great tragedy in this week's parsha, the death of the sons of Aaron. So let's learn together. This is in the 11th piece of this week's parsha in Pri Tzadik. And let's start from that second arrow, where it says, V'omar. He's quoting the Medrash in Torah's Kohanim in the Sifra. V'omar ma talmud lomer b'nei Aaron. The pasuk says, V'yichu b'nei Aaron Nadav and Abihu. So once you tell me that we're talking about Nadav and Abihu, so why do you have to tell me b'nei Aaron? We know who Nadav and Abihu are. Why does the Torah emphasize b'nei Aaron? Shelo chalku kavod la'aron. It's highlighting the fact that there's a pagam in their relationship to their father. Part of what went wrong with Nadav and Abihu that led to their terrible patira is rooted in the fact that they don't have an appreciation of who Aaron is. Let's see. Ha'inin al-pima shekosa b'Torah Kohanim l'mal. It says earlier in Torah Kohanim in the Medrash, and this whole shtickl is built on various Midrashim throughout Torah Kohanim in this week's Parsha. Nichnas Moshe v'chulu. They got to fill in the gap. So I sat down last night and I learned through the Torah Kohanim and I looked up what happened. Aaron's sons passed away, and Moshe came in to comfort Aaron. And Moshe says, you have to realize they were a holy tzaddikim, and that's why they died in the way that they did. And from the fact that they were the ones who were chosen to die, and not us, your children, Aaron, are even greater than the two of us, than Moshe and Aaron. Nichlas Moshe came in, and Vaisa, we tried to comfort him, v'chulu. Achshav nimtzu banecha gedol mimeri mimcha, shevehem habayis niskadish. That they brought a certain kedusha, a heavenly fire that consumed them. Yes, it was a pagan, and we'll see what the chayit exactly was. But they were very, very holy Jews. Came into Shama Aaron Kach, Tzadok Olav Esadin, or Tzidok Olav Esadin, Vishasak. When Aaron heard Moshe's response to his personal tragedy, Aaron was silenced, and he said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows what he's doing. I don't necessarily fully understand what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is doing. It's a funny thing you're saying, Moshe. My children are such tzaddikim, so therefore what? So therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu kills them? But the answer is, Aaron says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows what he's doing. And this is what the God of Lador Moshe Rabbeinu tells me, and this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu Lamaisa does. It has to be Emes. It has to be Tzidok HaDin, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's ways are just. V'lemudim tzedikim shematzedikim aleim asadin. And then Rav Tzadok quotes again, continuing from the Medrash, this is the ways of tzedikim, that they always say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is just. Again, I may not understand how HaKadosh Baruch Hu is just. The pain that I feel is very real. And at the same time, I'm always able to declare as a tzaddik, whatever Hashem does to me, that's what I deserve. I may not understand it. I may not know what particular chait brought about this punishment, or brought about this particular schar, or opportunity that I've been granted. But whatever Hashem gives me, that's what I deserve. And I have no tainas on a Kaddish Baruch Hu. Avram tzidek olav adin. Avram did the same thing when he said, Anochi afar ve'efer. Yaakov tzidek olav asadin. When Yaakov said, Katoti mikol achasadim. So says Rav Tzadok, that's where the Medrash ends. He says, I don't understand. How can you compare what happened to Avram and what happened to Yaakov to what happened to Aaron? Aaron's sons died. And Aaron had to grapple with that. And Aaron was, tzidek olav asadin. He accepted a Kaddish Baruch Hu's judgment. But Avram and Yaakov, it's a different situation. They survived. They survived their struggles. The ain lo perish klal. The ba'aron shenan nashi tachin lashon shetzidek olavas adin. Aval ba'avram ve'yaakov shalom atzino onish klal. Avram and Yaakov, who certainly had lives of difficulty, but survived and overcame their struggles, yipali lashon tzidek olavas adin. So, in what sense did they say, "Ah, Hashem, you did right by us"? Is it the struggles that they're acknowledging? Shalomer b'taras kahanim. What exactly is the Medrash saying? So he says, you know what it means? You know what it means that Avram and Yaakov were on no less of a madriga than Aaron? And we'll see David HaMelech is the same way. V'nira peirusha al pima shedarshu, the Medrash says in Bereishis Rabbah, ilu hargani amrafa lo ayisi afar. Avram said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if Amrafa would have killed me and turned me to dust, right? So I would have deserved that. V'ilu sarfani nimrod, I would have turned to Afar. If Nimrod would have burnt me in his kivshon, I would have been turned to ashes. And you know what? I would have deserved that. So Einachanami Avram survived. But by Avram, it didn't matter if he survived or if he got killed. Whatever HaKadosh Baruch Hu does to me, that's what I deserve. And I have no tainus. Nimtza v'masha amar v'anochi afar v'efer. By Avram's declaration of anochi afar v'efer, it was very real to him. It was very, very real. And he said, I'm not any more worthy of the fact that I survived or if I would have died. Avram's attitude was, I did deserve to die. And it was only Hashem's kindness that I'm here. Not because I deserve to be here. Now listen to how Rav Tzadok is now changing gears a little bit and adding a second point. And that is what? Sometimes a person has a taina back to Hashem, but Hashem, look what I do for you. Avram Avinu is saying, Hashem, if I would have been thrown into the Kivshon Eish on your behalf, for your honor, b'makadi Hashem Shemayim, and I would have died, I still would have deserved it. Now most of us would have said, no, lehefech. I went into the fire for you, Hashem, then I deserve to live. Look what I'm doing for you. But by Avram, it wasn't like that. Avshe Masar Atzmo, six lines from the bottom. Avshe Masar Atzmo, Kedusha Hashem Shemayim. He was fighting valiantly for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So he should have a taina to Hashem. Look what I'm doing for you. How could you possibly punish me in such a situation? And yet by Avram, he didn't feel that way. I'm as good as dust and ashes. Whatever happens to me, that's what I deserve. Even if I've made tremendous sacrifices, Sirus Nefesh for you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to spread your name through the world, to put my life on the line for you. If you're not willing to reciprocate, I have no problem with that. Because I owe you everything and you owe me nothing. And that's what Avram said. Not that I earned my salvation. It was only your absolute kindness, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that I survived. Yaakov Avinu was as big a Jew as any Jew ever walked planet Earth. Yaakov Avinu, we know from Bava Metzia, had the spitting image of Adam Arishon. He was on the madrega of Adam Arishon, Kodem Achay. V'lo yaldam mirach klal. He knew nothing of Ra. Ra is always a code word for what? For Arayos. We know that Yaakov Avinu never lost a drop of Zerah in his life. He was a Kadosh, he was a Tower. He was a person who was on the most elevated of levels. Not a drop of Zerah Levatal in his entire life. And he was so elevated that he deserved the miracles, seemingly, that he was zochet to. And yet, what was Yaakov's attitude? Am I a nereg al yidei Lavan ve'esav? If I would have been killed by Lavan and Esav, I would have deserved it. And I have no tainas on you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. U'ma shenimlat, amr shu b'chesed Hashem. Katoti mikol ha'chasadim. I don't deserve any of this. And now, we come to, again, in many respects, our greatest Rebbe in this regard. Not the one who did make it out and could say, well, in theory, I would have said thank you even if you killed me. But we turn to the one who actually did suffer. That's Aaron HaKohen. V'chein Aaron HaKohen. Avshakvar nishlam b'chol ashlims. Aaron HaKohen, the Kohen Gadol, the Heilig HaKohen Gadol, who's able to transmit kahuna to all future generations. To be able to transmit something throughout the generations means that you're very strong in that inyan. Right? It's not just a biological reality that if you're a son of a Kohen, then you're a Kohen. It goes back to the Kedushas Kahuna of Aaron HaKohen that permeates all the generations of Kohan. So Aaron was Nishlam B'chol HaShlemus, B'tachlis HaShlemus, Aaron had reached the highest Madregus. K'mo Shekosa B'toras Kohanim, V'yisa Aaron, Aaron raised his hands in the Siyas Kapayim, V'yisa Aaron. What does it mean, V'yisa Aaron? It's not just Kohanim lift up their hands. It means that Kohanim, when they raise their hands by Nesias Kapayim, Kohanim lift up the whole world. Look where it's Tzadik writes here. Ba'osa Shah Zachav Matnos Kahuna, V'zachav Nesias Kapayim. What does it mean to be a Kohen? Who's Mevareches Amo Yisrael Ba'ava? What does it mean to eat karbanos? You know what it means? Look what he says. Lo ledoros ad sheyichu ha-mesim. Nesias Kapayim was given to Aaron HaKohen in such a degree for all generations that it can literally revive the dead. What does that mean? Matnos Kahuna Moresh Gufo Kadosh. If you can eat kachim, if you are the main eater of kachim, the Kohanim, that's a sign that your guf is one and the same with kachim. Your guf is kadosh. She'ochel mikdashei shemayim. Mikdashei shemayim. V'nei kohanim shluchei rachmana. The Kohanim, the Gemara says, are what? Are the workers, the shluchim of the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Shlucho shel Adam kemosa. That means the Kohen is the greatest embodiment of Elokus in this world. She'ochel ochlim u'balim is kaper. The same way that when meat is burnt on the Mizbeach, it brings kapara. And when blood is sprinkled on the Mizbeach, it brings kapara. When a Kohen eats a steak, it brings kapara. That's the Kedusha of a Kohen. Unbelievable. V'chein pidyon b'chor, d'chsev ki li kol b'chor. On the one hand, the Kadosh Baruch Hu says, a b'chor belongs to me. And at the same time, who acts as the shliach of a Kadosh Baruch Hu to be posed as the b'chor of the Kohen? V'chsev b'chor b'necha tifta. You go to the Kohen. V'hainu me'ashem yisparach. V'nosein apidyon la'kohen. You redeem it from a Kadosh Baruch Hu by working with a Kohen. Again, because a Kohen is an extension. Kiviyachal of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Shu shlucha derachman. What about Nesias Kapayim? And he just showed us how great Aaron was. Aaron had every reason to say to Hashem, this isn't fair. And not once did he say such a thing. Nesias Kapayim, what does it mean? Hainu lahachnes ha-kedusha b'chol Yisrael. The lifting of the hands, the blessing of Klal Yisrael, is attaching Klal Yisrael back to their shorish. K'mo sha'ayakan v'yetzu v'yavarch v'sa'am. Aaron went out, he blessed the people, by Yerek for Hashem, al kol ha'am. And the Shekhinah, Aaron brought Hashem the Shekhinah on Klal Yisrael. V'zachu liros eish chadasha, u'mikol makom chashev atzma l'chotei, v'hitztik din shemayim olav. And yet, despite his awesome madrigos, when something went wrong in his life, Aaron didn't have any kindness. Aaron didn't complain to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Aaron said, I got what I deserved. Hitztik olav esedin. K'mo shekasuv, oili, kach aveira biyadi, ubiyad bani, banai, shekachi gatzav. He says, it must be something that I did, that this happened upon me. This is not a freak accident. This is not an injustice. This is a Kadosh Baruch Hu giving me and my children what we deserve. V'chein b'shemen ha-mishcha. And when Aaron was anointed with the Shemen ha-mishcha, av she'asa Moshe mipi ha-gvura, even though he was told, you're worthy of having this holy oil placed upon you, near to Aaron. Aaron was shaking. Aaron was trembling. He was on the verge of fainting. Why? V'nafa la'achrav. V'amar o'ili shema'alti b'shemen ha-mishcha. That my flesh should have such holy oil poured upon it. It's me'ila. It's an abuse of kachim. I'm not worthy of such a thing. Look at the attitude of the Gedolim. The humility. The humility of the Gedolim to feel unworthy of Avodas Hashem. And unworthy of connections to Kedusha, connections to Kadosh Baruch Hu. And to feel that if something doesn't work out the way that they would have liked it to work out, they're hitzik olav esedin, they're makablet ba'ava. K'mo shekasa b'toras kohanim. Aval heim kevet shezachu liros eis chadasha. But now we come back to Nadav and Avihu. Who's the heim? Nadav and Avihu. Nadav and Avihu, unfortunately, as Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky describes in this week's Parsha, Perek Yud Pasuk Beis, that all the different opinions, all the many, many opinions, remember the first time I heard about that there were so many opinions of what Nadav and Avihu did wrong. Remember, the first time I heard that was from Rabbi Alan Schwartz Shlita, an introduction to Bible class here in NYU, which goes back about, I don't know, 14 years or so. So Rabbi Schwartz, I think was the one maybe who taught me this Emes Liakov also. Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky said, how could there be so many opinions of what they did? They didn't get married, they were drunk. First of all, hello, the Pasuk says what they did. They brought an Eish Zara l'fnei Hashem. Right? Mor Halacha b'fnei Rabbo. I think the Medrash brings 12 different opinions. What they did that was wrong. So says Rabbi Yaakov, the Torah says what they did wrong. No, the Medrash is asking, what was the root of their gaiva, right, that led them to do such a thing? The Medrash is saying, how did it come to be that such holy people made such a mistake? What's the show? We know what went wrong. What went wrong was that they made up their own karma. But where did that come from? How did they not have that same spiritual sensitivity that Aaron HaKohen himself had? to feel unworthy of serving Kadosh Baruch Hu. That's exactly what Tzaddik develops right here. Aval heim kevin shezachu liros eish chadash. Nadav and Avi, when Aaron brought down a holy fire, they said, oh, we're worthy of such madrigos. So let's go weiter. Let's do something more. Let's create something new. Instead of saying, we're not even worthy of what we've been zochet to. But they felt, we're going to push the limits. Aval heim kevin shezachu liros eish chadash shoverosh anishlamu bikshu lahosif aval av. And it was a holy sin. But they went beyond that which was appropriate. V'lo chashtu atzmo shetoim v'shema lo nishlamu. And they didn't even entertain the possibility of that. We're not worthy of just marching into Kodesh Kedoshim and doing whatever we want. We're not worthy of approaching a Kodesh Baruch Hu in such a way with an Eish Zara that we've created on our own. And that's what it means, he says. So there's other words underlined. That's what it means they didn't show kavod to Aaron. What does it mean they didn't show kavod to Aaron? The Medrash has a funny lashon that they would walk around and say, when are Moshe and Aaron going to die so we can take over? What was going on? They were very holy tzaddikim. What was going on here? You know what the lack of kavod to their father was? That they didn't internalize their father's message. The same way the tragedy of Talmid Rabbi Akiva was that they didn't take the heart, they missed his main message. So too, Nadav and Avihu missed the main message of their father. They lacked that humility in Avodas Hashem. Where it's underlined, Lomer Avinu Bavadai Tov. Our holy father, who's called Gadol, is a very great man, and he's certainly Nishlam. He certainly has a Madrega of Shlemus. And yet, Mikol Makom, look how Aaron is trembling to even touch the Shemana Mishcha. Choshed is Atzvo Lachotei Umalil VeKedoma. Aaron always saw himself as unworthy. Vizal Iker Sheyeda Adam Sheein Lo Klum Eitzol Bara. That's the main line, Rabosai. Today is Pritzatik. The Iker is that a person needs to know that he has nothing by Hashem. He does nothing for Hashem. He's owed nothing by Hashem. Now again, of course, on some Madrega we have to operate with, yes, we do so much to Hashem, and we give Nachas Ruach to Hashem. That's all true. But there's also another Madrega, which is everything that I do for Hashem, it's not nearly enough. And everything that you do for me, it would be a chutzpah for me to ask anything of you. And even if a person thinks that he's holding in a good place, I've done so much for Hashem, I'm a shalim, and I'm ready to go weiter in our relationship. A person has to be choshesh. Maybe I'm not. Maybe I'm not such a tzaddik. Maybe Hashem doesn't owe me just because I got up today and went to Minyan, even though that was hard for me. And I feel like, look what I did for you, Hashem. And there's a truth to that. But there's a part of us that has to very, very humbly approach Avodas Hashem and the things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does to us, and not, God forbid, to make demands of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in a way that would be inappropriate. Umasik b'toras kohan, three lines from the bottom, the second column. The Medrash concludes that David also, like Aaron, like Avram, like Yaakov, David HaMelech was also tzidik olav esadim. Shenemar, hiv ishu namaku chavurasi, bivnei hivalti. David HaMelech says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm like a rotten piece of garbage in front of you because of my sin. David HaMelech, how do you talk like that in Tehillim Lamidches? V'u'al derech shavu b'gemara, im ro'a adam shi'asurin ba'an olav yafash esh ha'maisa, lo matza yitla b'vitol Torah. Person's going through a struggle, and he thinks he's perfect, nothing I did wrong. You know what you should be told that on? Be told upon b'tol Torah. What does it mean, b'tol Torah? It means that I could have served you better, Hashem. Even if I think I did great, if I'm such a good Jew, why are you doing this to me, HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Why are the Jewish people suffering if you love us so much? The answer is, because we could be a lot better. We should demand of ourselves to be that much better. That's what David HaMelech is saying here. It's because of my own shortcomings that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm unworthy before you. Hainu, b'bitol Torah afshalom matzah b'yado avon hitzik alav esedin. Even though David HaMelech, Chazal say, David HaMelech had slaughtered his Yetzirah, he was free of sin. And yet David HaMelech demanded himself, I could be a better Jew. Concludes with Tzaddik where it's underlined. V'zeh ha'ikr li'os ha'adam doresh u'mavakesh tamid, she'ma lo yatzi yedei chovas nafsha. A Jew has to say to himself, maybe I haven't done enough. Maybe I'm too complacent in my avodas Hashem. V'zeh kol ha'adam, says Rav Tzaddik, this is the essence of man, demanding of ourselves, and being matzdik HaKadosh Baruch Hu on everything that he does. V'al yismoch al daito, rak yishol utshua berov yoitz, paraphrasing the pasuk in Mishlei, Perakid Aleph. V'zeh shedarash achar kach lo natlu eitza mimosha v'lo natlu eitza zemizeh. And this is how the Medrash concludes that Nadav and Avihu didn't seek the advice of Moshe Rabbeinu. They didn't even seek the advice of each other. They were so confident that they had it all worked out. Right? A certain gaiva. And again, it was a holy gaiva. These were big tzaddikim. We can't make light of who they were. But they got caught up in themselves and they weren't mekabel the lesson of Aaron HaKohen. that Moshe was not being facetious when he said, "Not none of you are better than myself and Aaron." He meant it. But again, they had lost sight of what it means to be a Jew who serves the Kaddish Baruch with humility. Just like a person who's searching for money, right? For a diamond. Even if it's a small diamond, you realize how valuable it is. So even if you're a 99.9% a perfect tzaddik, and there's only a little bit that I could be better, but that little bit has to be like a diamond too. It has to be something that you absolutely need to search after, and you feel empty without. Kamosh and Amar, Bakshu, Panav, Tamid. Adkan, the Prit Tzaddik. Pretty powerful, no? We can stop here and have, we should just sit and think maybe for half. But as we always try to do, share words from other tzaddikim who developed this yisod. I think the most astounding thing in this week's parsha is two words, vayidomah. The fact that Aaron was so quiet. But I want to help you to better understand the vayidomah. A couple of years ago, I tried to go through a Tzvi Pesach Frank Sefer on Chumash Tahar Tzvi. And in Parsha Shmini, this week's parsha, on the words vayidomah, Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank says an amazing thing. And it'll help us appreciate the silence of Aaron. Look what he writes on page 2. What's a medrash pliya? Strange medrash that says, vayidomah, Aaron was silent. My Have Le Lameimar. What should Aaron have said? Have Le Lameimar. He could have said, Uyomashmini Yumol Basar Arlasa. Okay, what does that mean? That's why it's a Medrash Pliya. But I don't really care to solve this Medrash Pliya right now. I care just to show you, as Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank is showing us, right? That My Have Le Lameimar. Vayidom Aaron means that Aaron could have said something. It would have been appropriate for him to say something. L'chorei yesh l'habit, says what Tzvi Pesach Frank. V'chimi omer sh'ayilo ma'alomar. Maybe Aaron didn't have anything to say. How do you know Aaron had something to say? How does the Midrash know my havi leila meimer? U'mashma sh'mashmos hamila v'yidom hi sh'ayilo ma'alomar. Apparently the definition of v'yidom Aaron is not just that he was stunned into silence. He had a whole speech of what he could have said. And he chose not to say it. V'chein kosov. So too we find in the writing of Rav Yaakov Etlinger, right, the Binyan Sion, in the Shalos of Jewish Binyan Sion, that when Chazal used the lashon ishtik, that someone remained silent, that the mashmos of that word, he, shahayilo malahashiv el shashasak. You could have said something, but you didn't say something. But based on what we learned through Tzad, we know exactly what Aaron Kohen could have said. Aaron Kohen could have said, I am the source of Kedusha in this world. I'm the one who's responsible for Nesiyas Kapayim, for lifting up Klal Yisrael. Nesiyas Kapayim, which the Medrash says again, has the koach of Tchiyas HaMeisim. And I'm the one who acts as a shliach of Rachmana. I'm the one who eats kachem on your behalf, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And I do so much for the betterment of Klal Yisrael. Aaron had plenty of things he could have said. And yet, that's what makes the Vayidom Aaron so great. But not for a second did Aaron feel that even though I could say, and maybe I should say, Aaron was matzik alav esedin. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, kel emunah ve'in avah. Whatever you do, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's just, it's right, and I have no tainus against you. And I want to go one step further just to show you how deeply he felt this. Maybe inside Aaron was burning up. Maybe inside Aaron was so mad at HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Maybe Aaron had all sorts of tainas, he just didn't say them. Clearly, my Dehavi Leila Meimar, he had what he could have said, but did he allow that to even be a feeling, a hergish by him? If you look on page 3, in the Meir Enei Chachamim, in the second volume, Madura Tinyana, the Meir Enei Chachamim was the Ostrovser, the Heilige Ostrovser, big, big, big tzaddik, Rabbi Yechiel Halevi, from Poland, from Ostrov. He's known as the Ostrovser. So he writes, Vayidom Aaron. He says, we know that there are four different types of things in the Bria. There's a person who speaks, a medaber, there's a chai, there's an animal, there's a tzomeach, there's plant life, and then there's domain, there's a rock. Says the Ostrovser, what happens? What happens when you do something to harm a person? Right? Someone attacks you, so you're going to scream, and you're going to use words, and you're going to try to explain to them why they should stop attacking you. What happens when an animal is under attack? Right? The animal also, it doesn't have the same means of communication, but the animal might try to run away. The animal might try to fight back. The animal might growl at you. What happens when you take a flower and you pluck it from the ground? The flower will show no resistance. It's not going to fight you. Right? But when the flower has been plucked, it's changed. It's changed by the experience. It starts to wither. And it starts to rot. What about a domain? What about a rock? You hit a rock. You punch a rock. Yeah? Is the rock changed? Does the rock in any way show any signs of having been impacted by such a person. Nothing happens to the etzem of who, of what it is. Says the Ostrovser, four lines from the end. Valkein nemar vayidom Aaron. Vayidom Aaron. Aaron was like a rock. Aaron was so unmoved, despite the intensity of the pain he must have felt from his own children, but he had also such an awesome clarity in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's justice that he was like a rock. Vayidom Aaron. Shenasa kamo dome. He was going through an awesomely traumatic event, the death of his children. And he wasn't even like a flower that just can't say a word, but shows an outer sign of something happened to me, something changed here in my life. Aaron was completely unchanged. Not because he was insensitive, not because he didn't love his children, but because Aaron understood that whatever Kadosh Baruch Hu does is just. Ki lo nisragiz mimishpat Hashem, ki yada ki tzadik Hashem b'chol derachav, v'chasid b'chol mas. And Rabbosai, how can you not think about this on a day like today? But again, so many Jews are thinking about the tragedy of the Holocaust. And it's never for us to judge. We know nothing of it. We don't understand the pain and the suffering that people went through, and it's never our place to judge anyone who went through such a thing and the feelings that they have coming out of such a thing. And it's never our place to try to explain, right, that why, you know, a particular terrible sorrow happened to the Jewish people. But what the lesson at the very least is, right, that we have to take away from such a thing is to be able on some level with humility to bear the brunt of the Holocaust. And that doesn't mean that we shouldn't discuss it. It doesn't mean that we shouldn't try to make sense of it. There's a lot to address from a theological standpoint, why HaKadosh Baruch Hu would do such a thing to Klal Yisrael. But one of the most important things is that we have to be humble enough to be mekabel such terrible Yisurin in the way that Aaron did. Vayidom Aaron, like a domim that was completely unmoved. The truth is, earlier in the parsha, we actually encounter this humility of Aaron, even before the death of his two sons. Because earlier in the parsha, if you turn to the next page, the Rebbe Reb Melech, Zehemzadev HaKadosh Levrachel, and the Noam Eli Melech, commenting back in Parak Tes, this is before Aaron and his sons experienced that terrible personal korban in Parak Yud, it says, Vayomer Moshe Aaron, Krav El Mizbech. Aaron, step up to the Mizbech, bring the Karban Chatas, bring the Ola. Aaron, you've been selected to do a particular avodah. This is the day that the avodah of the Mishkan is fully coming to light. And Rashi tells us that Aaron was being told by Moshe, step up, because Aaron didn't want to step up. Why didn't Aaron want to step up? Perish Rashi, on page 4, take a look on the left-hand side. Perish Rashi, Shaya Aaron Bosh, Aaron was embarrassed, and he was afraid, Lageshas. He was afraid to step up, he didn't want to draw close, he felt unworthy. Va'amar lo Moshe, lama ta Bosh? What are you embarrassed of? Lakach nivchart, Hashem has selected you. You're the one who's chosen, so go do what you're supposed to do. Some even say, I saw once in the Pardes Yosef, I don't remember which parsha was in, but the Pardes Yosef brings that Moshe Rabbeinu was saying to Aaron, when Hashem selected me by the snap, by the burning bush, and I was being hesitant, that was a mistake. When Hashem called upon you, you step up right away. So he was saying to Aaron, based on his own personal experience, Moshe was saying, you've been selected, step right up. Go do the avodah. But says the Rebbe Reb Melech, there's a lot more that's taking place here. Dinei ikar hu la'adam habusha. Simen tov la'adam shu baisha. V'chol mesbayish lo b'mehera hu chote. The mitzvah of busha, of being embarrassed to come before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of feeling a little bit unworthy to put on my tefillin in the morning, and a little bit unworthy to say a bracha, baruch atah Hashem, and to feel a little bit unworthy to sit down in front of a Gemara Ksubis, which is the Chachmas Elokus, to be humbled in that way, is a sign of a good person. And a person who's humbled in that way, a person who has that humility, a person who has that trait of busha, lo b'meheru chote. I'm just thinking now, the Gemara in Yevamah Zayin Tes, I believe, says that one of the three signs of a Jew, one of the three absolute signs of a Jew, is that all Jews are what? Are Rahmanim, Baishanim, and Gomel Chassan. And the Rambam even codifies the halacha. If you meet a Jew who doesn't have any busha, you have to check his lineage. He may not be a Jew. You have to have busha. And busha is a sign of a person who's not going to come to sin because he feels that he walks around with humility in this world. A true tzaddik feels that any little minor mistake that he does is a terrible offense. He feels that he's terribly disgraced the work of his creator. By him it's a major avera. The tzaddik is constantly mocking himself and humbling himself and feeling unworthy and speaking in a somewhat scornful fashion about himself. And he rebukes himself publicly. He says, I'm not such a tzaddik. There's a great story. I'm actually just thinking now also. There's a great story. Who was the story with? With the Choza, I think. The Choza had a big crowd that people used to come to the Choza. And what was his name? The Iron Head, the Rosh HaBarzel. There was a big Talmud Chacham who was not happy that so many people were attracted to the Choza. So he says, I think I told you this story once. So he told the Choza, he said, why don't you tell when they come to you this Shabbos, tell them you're not such a tzaddik. So the Choza says, okay, I'll tell them I'm not such a tzaddik. He says, tell them you're not a Talmud Chacham. Okay, I'll tell them. So that Shabbos, people came to the Choza. The Choza said, I have to tell everyone something, maybe it's not clear. I want to be very clear about this. I'm not a tzaddik, and I'm not a Talmud Chacham. What happened the next Shabbos? Right? Twice the other people came. Oh, look at the Choza, he's such a tzaddik, he's so humble. Yeah, so twice as many. So the Rosh HaBarzel, as he was known, the Iron Head, came back to him. I forget his real name, it was a very, very chashuv Talmud Chacham. So he said, So go and tell them, tell them the opposite. So he said, I can't lie. He said, that much I can't do. He said, I can tell them not a tzaddik. That's true, I'm not a tzaddik. So I can tell them that. But I can't tell them that I am a tzaddik. Right? That much I can't do. But that's the Metzias, says the normal amount. That a real tzaddik, he's not ashamed to be mochiach atzmo barabin. He's not ashamed to speak in a derisive fashion about himself in public. Because he feels... Damn it, I'm not worthy to be in front of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. I'm not worthy to be treated as a tzaddik. And when he acts humbly in front of people, other people follow and they listen to him. And they have Hirurei Tshuva. If a flame catches, could take down a big tree, a big cedar tree, so what's going to be? What's going to be with the little grass that's growing on the wall? They feel, when they see his humility, they're humbled by him. Turn the page. Vehem, chozim b'tshuva shleima, and the humility of this tzaddik will bring others to tshuva. So says the Noam Elimelech. What's the pshat? Moshe says to Aaron, step up, right? Don't be so humble. Don't be ashamed. Don't be embarrassed. You've been selected. V'zeh she'amar lo Moshe Rabbeinu alav shalom. Lama atavosh. What do you mean? Why? What does it mean? Lama atavosh. Why are you embarrassed? Perish b'shvil she'atavosh. It's your busha and it's your yira that what? That is the reason you are selected, right? Lama atabosh, lekach nivcharta. That's why you were selected. Hashem picked you dafka for that very reason. Hashem didn't want to pick someone who's going to think I deserve to be kohen gadol. Hashem picked the one who says I'm not worthy of being kohen. That's dafka the reason you've been selected. Atu atzadik hashalim haroyli karev no esbeach. Lekach nivcharta. Shekachu royli tzadik lesnag bavadasu yizbarach shemo. And that's what it means that Aaron stepped up to the mizbeach. That Aaron put himself on the mizbeach. Aaron, every time he's up to the mizbeach, he was mamish offering himself, says the Noam Elimelech. Ratzalomar kevin sheshalom imoshe shekachu madrega ma'ula habusha v'godol achna b'leiv v'asa kein, and Aaron was makriv himself on the mizbeach. Perish, shayim mekariv, makriv atzmo tamid al mizbeach, shayim motzi ba'atzmo chesronos. Aaron was offering himself up time and again by a mechashiv. Tamid shetarach l'mizbeach apar. He always felt that I need to be the one on the mizbeach. I need to be offered as a karbon because I'm not worthy and I have too many sins. It's an awesome humility that made Aaron worthy of being kohen gadol. I'll just point out very quickly that even though this idea is famous from the Noam Elimelech, if you look in the Degel Machane Ephraim on page 6, the Degel Machane Ephraim actually brings the exact same part, Bishem, his grandfather. Who is the grandfather of the Degel Machane Ephraim? The Helig Baal Shem Tov. So this idea really goes back to Baal Shem Tov, and he even writes on page 6 that this idea is already merumas in the Kisvei Ari. So this idea of being selected, of having success in Torah, in accordance with one's humility and approaching the avodah, is a very chashuv idea, very deeply rooted in Pnimius HaTorah, and it's not only out of the base medrash of the Baal Shem Tov. If you look on page 7, in the Ruach Chaim of Rav Chaim of Elazhin, you have a footnote from Rav Yitzchak of Elazhin, a Haggah, a comment to Rav Yitzchak of Elazhin, in the middle of the page, in Perek Dalet, Mishnah Aleph, in the Ruach Chaim, where he says the exact same vark. So whether you consider yourself a Talmud of the Baal Shem Tov, you consider yourself a Talmud of the Arizal, you consider yourself a Talmud of the Noam HaMelech, you consider yourself a Talmud of the Gra, Rav Chaim Volozhiner, Rav Yitzchak Volozhiner, V'chulu, right? This is an idea that's shavat l'chol nefesh, that the more that a person understands he doesn't deserve to come before Hashem, the more he'll actually be zocha to come before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rabbi Osei, it's only a couple days after Pesach. When the Jews left Mitzrayim, a march to Kabbalah Satorah. Baruch Hashem, we're on our way through the Yimei Sefirah to Kabbalah Satorah. What's the first thing we ever heard from HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Anochi Hashem Elokecha, Asher Tzisichem Eretz Yitzrayim. And what's the famous question that all the Rishonim ask? HaKadosh Baruch Hu, go big. Why introduce yourself as I am God who took you out of Yitzrayim? All the Rishonim ask, why doesn't HaKadosh Baruch Hu say? The truth is, not all the Rishonim ask. That's not like a proper way to speak. Some Rishonim ask. Happens to be a nice amount of Rishonim ask. But we do that sometimes, not all the Rishonim. First of all, I don't even know who all the Rishonim are. So how could I say all the Rishonim ask? Ibn Ezra asks, Rabbi Yehuda Levi asks. Okay, there are some Rishonim who ask. It's good to proper speech during Sefiras Omer. So some Rishonim ask, why does Hashem say, I am Hashem who took you out of Mitzrayim? Why doesn't Hashem say, I was God who created the world? Right? It's a lot bigger. It's a seemingly greater event on the world, you know, scale, so to speak. So there's a beautiful sefer called the Maimar Hakar Satov. It's a sefer called Maimar Hakar Satov. It's hundreds of pages by the Biala Rebbe. The Mavasar Tov, Maimar Hakar Satov. And on page 347, he brings a very fascinating answer to this question. Different than the answer that the Rishonim offer. Look what he writes in the second paragraph on page 8. Vinira, ki lahoros ba'al tanaya muktam l'kabal satorah. You know why Hashem says, I am a Kodesh Baruch Hu. I am a Kodesh Baruch Hu took you out of Mitzrayim. Why is that the introduction to all of the 613 mitzvos? The answer is as follows. Because the Dhamma, the Kabbalah Satorah, who? Midas HaKar Satorah. Is the realization that what? That I owe Hashem so much. And Hashem owes me nothing. Shua Yisod L'Kiyam HaTorah V'Mitzvos. Alkein Pasach Anochi Hashem Elokecha. What a deep part. The backbone of Yiddishkeit is that a Jew is a Makir Tov. That's my relationship with my parents. As the Sefer HaChinuch writes in Mitzvah Lamed Gimel, the mitzvah of honoring one's parents is rooted in a very deep, deep sense of Hakar HaSatov. And Alachas Kam V'Kama, Avinu Shema Shemayim. My whole relationship with him is built on what? An appreciation that what? That I owe him everything and he owes me nothing. That I have I'm tremendously indebted to him. Anochi Hashem Elokecha, or should I say, Sichem Eretz Mitzrayim, based on them. And he says that explains very simply the question of the Rishonim. Rias HaOlam, he quotes the Gemara in Erevin, Daf Yud Gimel Amud Beis, that they took a vote and they said, right? They voted. Noach lo la'adam shelo nivra. Yosem mish nivra. It would be better that we were never created. Meaning, as far as Hashem, you made the world, I don't owe you anything for that. You know why? Because it would be better had you not made the world. But as far as the fact that you took me out of Mitzrayim, that's something that was a tremendous tovah. And that's the backbone of our relationship. And again, to whatever degree a person realizes that he owes HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's to that degree he'll be able to be mekabel the Torah. The truth is, this was also the shortcoming of the Mitzrayim. And this is part of the reason we got out of Mitzrayim early. What was the suffering of Mitzrayim like? All sorts of terrible things you read in Midrashim, the ways that they tortured us, and terrible affliction. But there was also an element of emotional pain that the Mitzrayim afflicted upon us. In the Ksav Sofer al Torah, I saw this once in the Ksav Sofer al Torah, and I went last night to look in my edition, and for some reason this piece is edited out of my edition. I have like a nice new print of Ksav Sofer al Chomish, and it wasn't there, so I had to go online, and I found in an older edition, they have it there. I'm not sure why it's missing. Maybe it's controversial to talk about our enemies in this way. Got censored. I really have no idea. But look what he writes in Parshas Bo. Umosha b'nei Yisrael asher yashvu b'mitzrayim. How long were we in Mitzrayim? The Pasuk says 400 years. We were only there for 210 years. What does it mean the Jews sat in Mitzrayim for 400 years? But more than that, it says Ksav Sofer. Look at the Pasuk again. Umosha b'nei Yisrael asher yashvu b'mitzrayim. Why don't you write asher yashvu b'mitzrayim? Why doesn't it just say, Havi Leila Meimar, Umosha B'nai Yisrael B'Mitzrayim? Moshe B'nai Yisrael Asher Yashru B'Mitzrayim. What's the pshat? So he says as follows. Nir Ali Apima Shekosta B'Parsha Shemos. Dikoshi HaShibud She'amru Zav Lahashlim. Sorry, Shehishlim Hainu She'B'Mitzrayim Haya HaShibud Koshu B'Yoser La'asher Shomu Lehem Ra Tachas Tov. If you want to understand, he says, I wrote about this in Parsha Shemos. Why is it that the Jews got out of Mitzrayim early? What was the Koshi HaShibud? Part of it was the fact that what? That to be a slave in Mitzrayim was the greatest offense to the Jewish people. Where was the Hakar Satov? For who? For what? For Moshe, for Yosef HaTzadik. Yosef HaTzadik saved Mitzrayim. And now, a new paro, Asher Lo Yada Es Yosef. Part of what made Shibud Mitzrayim so painful, and part of the reason that the first message we need to learn at Har Sinai coming out, like the Biala Rebbe told us, the foundation of Torah is Hakar Satov, is because it was the antithesis of what happened to Mitzrayim. The pain of Mitzrayim was what? Was the fact that Mitzrayim turned their back on us for everything that we did do for them. It was the greatest lack of Hakar Satov. We saved the whole world. Yosef HaTzadik, with his brilliant economical strategies. Saved literally the entire universe on a physical, in a physical sense. And yet Mitzrayim made it as if they owe us nothing. Says the Chasav Sofer, V'chi kein im haya b'shar artzos begalus lo ayinechshav ledalad me'al shana. If we had been in some other land, would it not have been 400 years? And he says, yes, that's correct. If it would have been in another land, it would have been 210 years. What made it so brutal in Mitzrayim? The very fact that it was in Mitzrayim. Haval l'asher haya b'mitzrayim hayinechshav ledalad me'al shana. V'haynu, and that's what it means. U'mosha b'nei Yisrael asher yashu b'mitzrayim. The emotional pain of Dafka being treated this way by Mitzrayim. Mishum sheyashu beretz Mitzrayim, hayadal me'al shana. And that, he says, is very clear. And he says, this explains the debate, the discussion that the Rambam and the Ravid have. Why was Mitzrayim punished? After all, Hashem said that Klal Yisrael, by Brisbane Hassan, they were told they're going to be slaves, that the Jews are going to suffer, that the Jews are going to have hardship. So why was Mitzrayim punished? So the Ravid says, because they treated us more harshly than Hashem set up for us to be treated. Hashem didn't set up how much we're supposed to be treated. What does it mean they treated us more harshly? Says the Ksav Sofer, the very fact that Mitzrayim was the one who enslaves us, that itself was what made it more harsh. The fact that it was the ultimate lack of a karsatov. And again, as Jews, we're constantly working to try to rectify this. To realize that, again, we feel terribly indebted to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And everything that we do for Him is only with the Hakdama of what He's done for us. And it's a response, it's the least that we can do in order to repay HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the kindness that He's done for us. In Yiddish, there's an expression. A person says, es kumt mir. Right? It's coming to me. I deserve it. The proper attitude, though, is of course that a Yid should say, what? Es kumt mir garnished. That nothing's coming to me. Hashem owes me nothing. Hashem mamish owes me nothing. And when Avraham Avinu is told that he's going to have a son, right, that there's going to be a Yitzchak, what's his response? What's his response? What's his response to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So if we would have been there, we would have said, if I was Avraham Avinu, and I just had Bris Mila, 99 years old, I would have said, Pashut, you're going to give me a son of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You owe me a son. After everything I've done for you, I would say to Hashem, finally! Right? Enoch Anami, of course you owe me a son. What was Avraham's response? But what was I thinking about it? In Lech Lecha, what does Avraham say when he's told that there's going to be a Yitzchak? What's Avraham's response? With tremendous humility, Halavai Yishmael should live. Halavai Yishmael should live. We know how badly Avraham wants a Yitzchak. And yet, there was a feeling of, I'm not worthy of this. After everything I've done for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I took a bris mila at 99 years old, an awesome surgery, and the terrible pain that I suffered for HaKadosh Baruch Hu throughout my life, Halavai Yishmael should live. That's the attitude of eskum tamir garnished. But the brother doesn't owe me anything. And every time we do a mitzvah, we need to think about that. This is one of the beautiful midrashim. In the Medrash Tanhuma and Parshas Emor, this is a kedai to really take this measure and think about it. To mamish al derech avod. Now we always share a lot of ideas on Thursday, and I sometimes feel that we sometimes lose the avoda of. It's important. We need to see what the svarim say. That's why we learn the way that we do. But at the same time, we have to walk out of this room and do something with it. Take this medrash al derech avodah with you. Look at this beautiful medrash. Medrash Tanhuma, Parshas Emor, Os Zayin. Amar Rabbi Yirmiyah ben Elazar. Asida bas kol yos mifotzetzes b'roshei aharim v'omeres. Kol misha pal im kel. Anyone who has done something for God, yavo v'yitol schar, or come and collect your schar. Now, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to say, before you show up, let me just point out one thing. For Ruach HaKodesh, Tzovachas V'Omeres, Mi Hikdimani V'Asholem. Mi Hikdimani V'Asholem is a pasuk in Iyov Perek Mem Aleph. And if you look at the Mitzudos over there, in Iyov, he basically summarizes this Medrash. What's the idea? What was Chazal's understanding of Mi Hikdimani V'Asholem? Who has come before me, and I will pay him. If you did for Hashem before he did for you, Hashem says, I'm happy to pay you. But let's pause for a second and think. Have I ever done for Hashem before He's done for me? And look at this medrash. Look at the beautiful lashonos. Mi kiles lefanai ad shelo nasati bo neshama. Hashem, I did so much for you over Pesach. You know how many times I said hal to you? Hashem says, but did you ever praise me before I gave you your soul? Before I gave you the neshama to swing those beautiful zmiros of halo? Mi mo lefanai ben ad shelo nasati lo ben zachar. Hashem, 5 weeks ago I took my son Yaakov Yedidya. And I performed a crazy surgery upon him. A surgery that's so dangerous that the Chasam Sofer writes in the Tshuva, if not for the Zchus of Mila, it could mamish be, God forbid, a life-threatening procedure. If it's only the merit of Mila that Baruch Hashem, Jewish babies are able to survive such a procedure on the eighth day of their life. So Hashem, you owe me for that. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says back to me, Moshe Tzvi, what are you talking about? Did you offer your son in Bris Milah before I gave you a son, the biggest bracha in the world? Kadosh Baruch Hu says to a person, Mi asa lefanai tzitzis ashalom nasati lo talis. Hashem, look, I put tzitzis on my beged. Hashem says, then who gave you the beged? Who gave you the beged? Mi asa maka ashalom nasati lo gag. Hashem, I put a fence on my roof. Who gave you the roof? I put a mezuzah on my door. Who bought you the house? Mi asa sukkah ashalom nasati lo makom. Hashem, I put up a sukkah. Who gave you the spot to put the sukkah? My name is Malcolm, says the Kadosh Baruch Hu. I'm everything. Me hifrishly payach on the sati lo sada. You gave a little money to tzedakah. Guess who gave you the field? Me hifrish truma maisrach on the sati lo goren. You gave a little bit to the kohen to eat. Who gave you all of the abundance of produce? Me hikrim lefanei karbanach on the sati lo behema. Who brought an animal before I gave you the animal? Have yeshor o kesev o eiz. And that's the context of this medrash. But what a beautiful medrash to really stop and think about. And we think, we sit down to eat lunch. Hashem, look what I'm doing for you. I'm going to make a bracha. Hashem says, who made you? Who prepared this lunch? Right, who, you know? The calf? It's true. I have to have a karas tov to the chevron, the calf. Yeah? I have to have a karas tov to the fisherman who caught the fish. Right? But we have to also have a karas tov to the person who created, the one who created the fish. That's the Kodesh Baruch. So the least I could do is to make a bracha with a little bit of kavana and to stop for a minute. And the bigger I am, the more I internalize this message, the more I'm shayach to that realm of Aaron HaKohen, the more that's demanded of me. Just the opposite of what we think. We think the more that I do for Hashem, so the more Hashem owes me. Just the opposite. Rabbo said, just the opposite. The more you do for Hashem, the more you have to do for Hashem. The bigger a person you are, the more you feel that Hashem owes you nothing, and the more you demand of yourself. Take a look at the writings of Rav Moshe Feinstein on page 11. In the Darash Moshe in Parshas Yisro, the Torah says, "V'im mizbeach avon." If you build an altar out of stone, says Rashi, this is one of the three ims in the Torah, where even though it sounds like im, if, it's optional, you can choose whether you want to or not. Kol im, the im, shabbat Torah, reshus, chutz mi gimel. Every time it says if in the Torah, that means if you want, yes, if you don't want, no. There are three times the Torah says im, and there's an expectation to do so. This is one of them. V'im mizbeach avonim tasali. You should, and you will, make a mizbeach for me. So what's the obvious question? So why does Hashem present it in the language of Rishos? If I have to do it, so tell me I have to do it. Why are you presenting it? Ke'ilu, there's different tracks. There's the track that you could choose to do it, there's the track you could choose not to do it. That's Rav Moshe's question. L'chora le'ezet tzarech nokot lashon Rishos. Nira de'yesh inyanim. She'ein mechayven l'stam b'nei Adam. Haval Adam gadol yesh l'chayv v'yoser. Says Rav Moshe, because there are certain things in this world that for a regular person, Hashem would not expect this of you. But for a person who's more elevated, for the person who's done, so to speak, more for God, Hashem expects you to continue to do more for Him. And you're held to a higher standard. The Kevan, Sheklala Torah, Lo Shayach Le'amar Le'echad Yosem Mechavero, because the Torah has to be written for everyone, so Hashem has to write in a way that speaks to everyone. And this high madriga is not for everyone. But there's a concept, says Rav Moshe, of something that's presented as a reshus, where really it's a chiv. Where HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, yeah, you could be, there's different tracks, in a chanami. There's different ways to serve me. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, well, you should be pushing, you should treat the im, you should treat the option of being an okay Eved Hashem. You should demand of yourself, that's not okay to be an okay Eved Hashem, and that's enough. And Hashem, now I've paid you back for the kindness you've done for me. There's an im that could be not a reshus. That's the message of this Rashi. And that's where emotion goes on to describe. When it comes to the Mizbeach Avonim, by the Mizbeach Avonim, there's plaster around the Mizbeach, and if some of the plaster gets scratched off, it doesn't pass the Mizbeach. But if the Evan is chipped even a little bit, it passes the Mizbeach. And Rav Moshe says there's different types of Jews. There's some Jews where there's more leeway, but there's a hope. The Torah is saying, even though, yes, there are different madregas, and there's different ways to connect to a Kadosh Baruch Hu, but you should try to be Machayev yourself. You should try to turn the Im into a Chiv, to demand of yourself more in accordance with your madreg. There's a beautiful Or Sameach in Ochos Talmud Torah in Perak Aleph Halacha Beis in Source 12, page 12, where the Or Sameach is grappling with this question when it comes to Torah study: how much should a person learn? On the one hand, Vagisa Boyom V'Layla, I should take every second of my day and be learning Torah. On the other hand, you have a reality of a Gemara in Menachos Daf Tzadites that says that if a person would just say Kriya Shema morning and night, that's also a fulfillment of Vagisa Boyom V'Layla. So it sounds like there's different tracks. What track am I on? Do I learn a little bit in the morning, a little bit at night? Do I learn every second of the day? It's interesting. Meshech Halacha puts together a whole list of examples like this. Take, for example, mitzvah lulav. What's the minimum shear? What's the mitzvah? What's the lashon of the Gemara? Mida'ag bay, nafik bay. As soon as you pick it up, you're mekayim mitzvah lulav. And yet the Gemara tells us in Sukkah that the medaktikim, the tzaddiki Yerushalayim, would walk around all day holding their lulav. So which track am I on? When it comes to Lima Torah, am I on the advanced track? Am I on the more basic track? Is it im? Is im optional? Is im achiyuv? Says the Meshech Chachma with such beautiful lashonos where it's underlined. Ki eino doma bechiyuv Talmud Torah. Ha'ish asher nafsho margeshes pesichla azach v'nikshra ba'avosos ava l'talmud Torah. You can't compare a person who when he learns gets such a geshmak out of Torah and he loves Torah and he's tied with avosos ava, with ropes of love to the Torah. Li'ish asher kochos nafsho nirpim v'atzim. You can't compare it to a person who doesn't feel so much when he learns Torah. What's Meshech Chachma saying? He says, the more you enjoy Torah, and the more you learn, the more you're mechuyav to learn. That's a strange thing, no? The more I do for Hashem, the more I'm expected to do for Hashem. That's exactly this yisod. Aaron HaKohen, you are selected to do more. Why? Because you do so much already. And the person again who thinks that I do enough for a Kadosh Baruch Hu, right? A person who thinks I do so much, that's a p'tur from doing more. No, just the opposite. And this is what all the Gedolim are screaming about. Again, the more that you do, the more you're expected to do. Hopefully you have a deeper appreciation of what is demanded of you. Moshe Rabbeinu is the greatest Jew, that's why he's Anav Mikol Adam. Because he understands that the more that I do, the more I have to do. One more source on this idea, again from this week's Parsha. And that's Rav Aaron Cutler. Rav Aaron Cutler, echoing again the words of the Meshech Chachma, and echoing the words of Moshe Feinstein. He says, if you look in the Parsha, it describes kashrus, certain restrictions when it comes to eating. Why is it that HaKadosh Baruch Hu demands more from Klal Yisrael? And the answer is because HaKadosh Baruch Hu holds us to a higher standard across the board. V'alkein lod huzru umas ha'olam ma'achalos asuros. Says Rav Aaron, the Mishnah Rabbi Aaron in this week's Parsha. Why is it that HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't demand from the nations of the world to keep kosher? V'kohanim shoktishu b'kedusha yisera huzru umitzos yisera. Kohanim who have extra responsibilities have even more responsibilities and more demands. Why is that? Why is it that the ones who are doing so much have to keep doing more and more? Because the more connected I am, the more holy be'etzem I really am, like Aaron HaKohen, I'm held to that much more of a higher standard throughout. My mitzvos count more, and my averos count more. Exactly like Meshech Chachma just told us. If you are more elevated in Torah, that's a sign that you're on the advanced track in Torah. If you like learning, and you learn more than someone else, that's not a reason to say, well, now I can sleep more on Shabbos because I learned more than this guy during the week. No, that's a reason to sleep less on Shabbos. That's a reason to learn more on Shabbos. The fact that Hashem has given you an indication that you're on the advanced track, that's why your neshama feels the way that it does. Turn to page 14. Rav Aaron concludes, you can read through the rest of it later. Beautiful words. Says Rav Aaron, the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu places upon Klal Yisrael all sorts of extra restrictions, right? That's not a reason for us to be more casual about what we owe Hashem. We say the Umas Olam, they owe it to Hashem. They don't do so much for Him. No. Lehafch. The fact that we have an opportunity to do so much for Hashem is all the more so of a reason that we need to continue to grow in our avodas Hashem. Ki kol ma'isa tov ma'ila u'mekadesh sa'adam ba'uvan chitzarach achshav la'aliyaso pu'ulos v'argashos gevolos yoser. Every step of growth, says Rav Aaron, demands more and more growth from a person. And chas v'shalom, the same thing is true for Yerida. The more elevated you are, the more severe your straying from HaKadosh Baruch Hu is treated in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And I think we have to stop sometimes and just think. We're so lucky that Hashem gave us so many mitzvahs. Ratzon HaKadosh Baruch Hu lezakus es Yisrael. Hashem didn't give you 613 to make your life miserable. Hashem gave you more and more because He loves you. And He wants more to generate more. And that's the greatest schar in the world. The very fact that I have the opportunity to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is there anything greater than that? The Kedushas Levi in Parshas Ekev on page 15. Vayekev Tishmuun. La'ekev tishmun says the Berdichever. Da klal hu de be'emes masha kodesh baruch hu nosein schar ba'ad mitzvah. You think you're going to have a good when you get to Olam Haba, because then Hashem is going to pay you back for the mitzvahs. And einach anami, Olam Haba is a gavaldik thing. But says the Berdichever, that's a child's attitude. Ze apachos shebetanugim. That's the least of the pleasures. Schar mitzvah. You know what the reward for the mitzvah is? Mitzvah, the mitzvah itself. The very fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving you an opportunity to serve Him, that is the ikar tanug. About ikar tanug a mitzvah gufa. I'm going to get to you from Rabbi Bless in a couple minutes. The ikar tanug is what schar mitzvah is, the mitzvah. So says the Berditcher in Parshas Ekev, that's the pshat. V'haya Ekev tishmu'un. V'haya Ekev, look what he writes. V'zeu sh'omer v'haya Ekev. Zeu ha'ekev v'sof ha'davar asher tishmu'un. V'shamar Hashem elokecha l'cha. The fact that Hashem is going to save something for you, for the future, that there's something called Olam Haba, that there's a spiritual universe that awaits you in the next world, he says that's the Ekev, that's the heel, that's the bottom of the religious experience. That's a davar pashut. He says, you want the real religious experience? How thankful we need to be for the very fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu allows us to do mitzvahs. And I found a beautiful, beautiful makor for this that I want to share with you in the Shevet Musar on page 16 and 17. In the Shevet Musar, Rav Eliyahu Cohen of Izmir from Turkey, he writes so beautifully at the very end of the Sefer, Parak Mem Vav, in Os Yud Zayin. He says, think about it. We have a cloud to Yerushalmi, Mezachas Rosh Hashanah, to Medrash of Ayikra Rabbah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu does his own mitzvahs. HaKadosh Baruch Hu practices what he preaches. And yet, we have an obligation also to walk in the ways of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the fact that Hashem does mitzvahs, whatever that means, and we have the opportunity to do mitzvahs, that's an amazing thing. That means I get to be like Hashem every time I do a mitzvah. You hear? What an unbelievable opportunity. To be like HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You know how happy you should be? Just the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu lets you daven? He lets you put on tefillin. He lets you keep kosher. He lets you keep Shabbos. Those are massive privileges. That is the schar. HaKadosh Baruch Hu kiyam mitzvos tchila. Like we saw in Eov. No one ever came before Hashem. Hashem says, I lead the way, and you follow after me. Look how he reads this pasuk. It's gorgeous. What's the bracha? Asher tishmo. It doesn't say, Esa bracha im tishmo. You will get a reward if you listen. What does the pasuk say in Parshas Re'eh? What's the bracha? What's the call? The bracha is, what? Esa bracha asher tishmo. The very fact that Hashem allows you to listen in on His desires, and Hashem allows you to be connected to that which He is osek in Himself, that's the greatest bracha in the world. And if lo tishmo, if you're not listening, if you're not appreciating the opportunity you're being given, that's the biggest qual in the world. And he ends by quoting the Chassid Yaivis again on the Mishnah Pirkei Avos, Schar Mitzvah, Mitzvah. The reward for the mitzvah is again the very fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu allows us to do a mitzvah. The Chavetz Chaim, when he finished writing the Mishnah Berurah, turned to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and he said, Hashem, I need to thank you. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I have to thank you so much for the opportunity that you gave me to write the Mishnah Berurah. Chavetz Chaim didn't say, Hashem, I literally robbed my eyes from sleep and I put all my kochos into creating something for your sake. Right? And you owe me. No, just the opposite. Thank you, Hashem. Wow, you gave me a Mishnah Berurah. I'm so fortunate. You're so generous with me, Hashem. And you gave me a sefer Machane Yisrael so I can mechazik soldiers. And he gave me a sefer, a little kuntras, Sipisli Yeshua, so that I can teach people about Mashiach. Wow, Hashem, I owe you so much for allowing me, for giving me the privilege to write all these svarim. That's the attitude of a gadol. That I'm not worthy, and anything that I was osek in, that's a kindness that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has done for me. The Torah only writes one eulogy. Rav Simcha Zisel of Kelm pointed out, there's only one eulogy where the Torah itself gives a eulogy for someone. Who's that? Avram Avinu. The Torah, when Avram passes away, sings the praises of Avram. You'll say, but the Torah sings the praises of Moshe at the end of the Torah. There'll never be a Navi once again like Moshe Rabbeinu. Hashem Chazisa says, no, that's a halachic statement. That's a halacha that there'll never be a Navi on the Madrega of Moshe Rabbeinu. There's only one person who's eulogized by the Torah, Kivyachal, by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, himself. And that's Avram Avinu. What are you going to write about Avram Avinu? To sum up the life of Avram. The ten tests, all the great things that he did. What's the praise of Avram Avinu that the Torah wants to you when Avram passes away? Take a look. Rav Simcha Zisel based himself on this Ramban in Parshas Tayasar. The Ramban says, explaining that when Avram passes away, Zokain v'saveya. Avram is Zokain v'saveya. Shara'a kol mishalos libo v'sava kol tova. Avram was very happy with his lot in life. What made Avram so great? He says, everything Hashem has done for me, perfect. Good, bad, it's perfect. It's all good. Tzidik alav asadim. Like we saw it back again at the beginning with the Tzaddok. Anochi Ofer Ve'efer. If Hashem would have killed me despite my self-sacrifice for him, if Hashem would have burned me in a fire, I would have loved him nonetheless. V'chein usva yamim, shesava nafsho b'yamav, v'lo yis'ava sh'yechad shubo hayam dadar. Avram dies, and the Torah eulogizes him by saying, Avram died a happy man. He didn't want anything more from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ekeinu shenar b'david, v'yamas b'seva tova, sva yamim, oshe v'chavun. V'hu sipur chastei Hashem b'tzadikim. This is Hashem's way of eulogizing Avram Avinu, says Rav Simcha Zissel. U'miza tova b'hem. Turn the page, page 19. Shalo yis'avu b'mosros. They don't want anything extra. Kinyan shomer b'hem, taivas libo nasatala. Whatever I have, that's exactly what I want. As opposed to, as the Medrash says about most people, that a person leaves this world and only chatzi tavos of the other. He feels Hashem owes him something. That Hashem hasn't done enough for me. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Rabbo say, it's a hard thing for us to swallow, but Hashem owes us nothing. And that was the Gevaldik Madrega of Aaron HaKohen. The Vayidom Aaron. And I want to just end where we started, again, bringing it back a little bit to Yom HaShoah, and then Rabbi Bless is going to share some thoughts with us as well. But there was a great tzaddik who actually survived the war. He was never blessed with any of his own children, but he was a very chashuv mashkiach in the Ger Yeshiva, which was located in Tel Aviv at the time. His name was Rav Gad Eisner. Rav Gadol Eisner. That's what they called him, Rav Gidol. So in the Hakdama to his Sefer Mesilas Gad, it tells a little bit about his personal experience. And it describes how one of his Talmidim from before the war met up with him in Buchenwald. And in Buchenwald, right near the fires, not far from the place where Jews were mamish being taken every day to be burnt, this Talmud ran into his Rebbe. It was a tremendous source of chizik for him after he had lost his entire mishpacha. And he turns to Rav Gidol, and he turns to him, you see where it's underlined? On page 20? And he turns to his Rebbe and says, Mat tomar b'matzav zeh, nu Rebbe, what do you say about this? How do you make sense of all this? He says, Meshuganah. What's the response? The Vayidom Aaron. Aaron was so quiet. Shouldn't we have something to say? Like we saw from Rav Pesach Frank, Aaron had what to say. And yet he remained quiet. Rav Gadol turned to his Talmud. Hotzi Rav Gidol bibein kaplei begadav. He reached into, he had tucked away, somehow he had hidden within the little rags that he was wearing, a piece from the Sefer Chovos HaLevavos. A magnificent piece. Where? From the Shara Av at the end of the first parak. And he took it out and he read with his Talmud. Where the Chovos HaLevavos says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, whatever you do to me, it's all good by me. K'mo shenemar al echad min ha-chasidim. Shayakom v'layla v'homer, Elokai. Hiravtani ve'irum azavtani. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you've left me starving. And you've left me naked and empty. U'mechashche ha-layla ho-shavtani. You placed me in the greatest of darknesses. Yeah. V'uscha v'gadalcha harisani. Im tisrafeni ba'esh lo osif. Ki im ava uscha v'simcha v'cha. And yet, even if you throw me into the fires, I'm still going to love you. And that's what Rav Gad Eisner told his Talmud. And he was mechazik him. And they were both zochet to go on and survive the war. And Rav Bosa, I think this is really the secret of today's sefirah. Hocha begvura. To be able to say thank you to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's a tremendous madrig. And again, it's never for us to judge anyone who went through those terrible horrors. But to recognize that there's a hocha begvura, there's a possibility of a Jew saying, modim. Modim to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, thank you even for the times of din. Because it wasn't by chance. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is again a kel emunah ve'ein avel, that everything he did is with purpose. And I'll just end with the words of Rav Kook on page 21. Rav Kook in the Oras HaKodesh in Chelek Beis on page 479 has a beautiful essay where he describes, and he has many pages over there in the second volume of Oras HaKodesh, where he describes the very nature of evil in this world. And Rav Kook describes this piece, Hara ha'olami ha'misudar. You shouldn't think that when bad things happen in this world, it's hefker. Not at all. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was so precise. And that was what Aaron recognized and what his children failed to recognize. That a person has to humbly approach his avodah before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Mitzias hara olami, bein haklali, bein haprati, bein hamusari, bein hamasi. Whether it's theoretical, whether it's actual, whether it affects the tzibur, whether it affects the individuals. Says Rav Kook, a person needs to realize. He writes in the fourth line, I efshar liyachso el mikra. You can't, chas v'shalom, think that when the world is spinning out of control like it is today, that it's all happenstance. That there's no borei who's overseeing every bit of the process. Again, we don't have the eyes yet to see and understand. But hopefully we can have the humility of Aaron HaKohen and not make the same mistake that Nadav and Avihu made. So, Mirtz Hashem, we should all be zochah to take to heart this idea, these many ideas, in a very heartfelt way. It's not an easy avodah. But to have, again, the humility of Aaron HaKohen, to know that what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is doing is just, to feel that when Hashem gives you an opportunity to serve Him, it's a tremendous, tremendous schus, the fact that He's offering you that, and we should feel unworthy to approach such a thing. And Amir Hashem will be zocha, that all the crazy things that Klal Yisrael suffered through, if we can have a little bit of hocha b'gvura, to say thank you to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even for the dark times, and Mirat Hashem will be zocha to see only good times with the Bias Gol Tzedek Amir B'Aminu. Amen.